living what you believe is way easier than anything else. So, at Daleville Christian Church, we encourage you to know what it is you believe. So, each week we have an affirmation of our faith. This one from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. The reading of God's word for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It seems to me that in recent months, the words spoken at the table for the offering stand out to me. In this same time, Daleville Christian Church has had visitors, guests, and new members, so it would be worthwhile to outline what Daleville Christian Church teaches about finances, either from the elders' words, my words, or by example and behavior in the congregation. As I wrote in the newsletter recently, money, for many people, is a sensitive topic. I don't know if I can help that, except to say that the Bible does talk about money, and the Bible is the foundation of the life of Daleville Christian Church. There are a couple of topics that the Bible talks about more than almost any other topics. If you wanted to guess the topic of love, you would be correct. The Bible talks about that quite a bit. If you guessed the topic of money, as very frequently talked about, you would also be correct. If the preacher is going to preach about the Bible, the preacher is going to have to preach about love, and the preacher is going to have to talk about money. I have a book I use regularly in working on topics about money, and this is it, The Word on Finances by the late Larry Burkett. Larry Burkett was challenged at a men's Bible study when someone said they didn't think that God cared that much about money. Larry Burkett decided to go looking through the Bible. And he did it the old-fashioned way back in 1971. No computer to help him. And he found over 1,000 references to money in the Bible and used that work to write this book, The Word on Finances, Topical Scriptures and Commentary. He's put them together in topics enough for me to preach on a different topic concerning money in the Bible for the next year and a half. Are you ready for that? I'm not going to do that. I have heard myself say up here that our God doesn't need your money. The treasurer always cringes when I say that. I have heard an elder say that our God doesn't want your money. Then the elder always adds, our Lord wants you. So our Lord cares about money because our Lord cares about you, and our Lord knows how money messes with people. It makes them do stupid things. And if people think they don't have enough money, they often do even stupider things. Our Lord cares about you, and our Lord cares more about you than the Lord cares about your money. But we all have a relationship with money, which is about the time someone in the congregation says, hey, preacher, what money? But that's the odd thing about money. Even if we don't have any money, we still have a relationship to money. We desire it, or we plan for it, or we worry about it, or we worry about not having it. Whether anyone has a lot or none, we all still have a relationship with money. So today's Bible verses look at one particular event that the Apostle Paul writes about more than once to more than one congregation. The Apostle Paul wrote to the congregations in Philippi, Galatia, Rome, and Corinth. The event was an offering being collected to be delivered to the churches or church in the city of Jerusalem. Mind you, that list again, Philippi in Greece, Galatia, Asia Minor, Rome in Italy, and Corinth in Greece, none of those congregations are in Judea or Jerusalem, the capital of Judea. The apostles taking an offering to be collected in the other churches to be delivered to the churches in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's church or churches were understood as the church of the apostles, even as a mother church, although that word is never used in the Bible. But Jerusalem's where it all began, right? The idea of an offering or financial gift for the churches in Jerusalem seems to have started at the so-called Council of Jerusalem. That's in Acts chapter 15, and I think I have those verses noted for you in the sermon notes. At that meeting, Paul talked about his mission to the Gentiles. The decision was to accept Paul's mission to the Gentiles as being from the Lord and to accept the Gentiles into the church. However, Paul was told, among other things, to remember the poor. Now, here's where the scholars start arguing. Who were the poor? Funny, we argue about that now, don't we? Who is poor? Who's really poor? No matter who the poor were in Jerusalem, Paul knew who they were. The apostles in the Jerusalem church knew who they were. And Paul is going to do what the council asked him to do. Paul is taking up a special collection for the church or churches in Jerusalem. Now, as we look at Paul's letters, I remind you that although the scriptures have been preserved and translated and printed for us, they were originally letters in an ongoing conversation. Like overhearing a phone conversation, we can't be sure what was said earlier or even what the person on the other end is saying. We only have Paul's words as a part of the conversation. Paul outlined how this offering would be done in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul is taking responsibility for this collection and for its delivery to the church in Jerusalem, and he wants the gifts to be ready when he arrives to pick them up, to take them to Jerusalem. And so he wants the offerings taken ahead of time and saved up for him to deliver. So that is the background to today's Bible verses. Again, I remind you, this would be a one-time gift. We have no record of this offering being taken again for the same purpose or a record of any other gift going to Jerusalem. Also, we believe that even before this took place and after this took place, help for local people was given and received locally. That is, gifts, property, monies were received at the local church and distributed from the local church. And that was true for Jerusalem also. We are not aware of anything but local support for ministries, generally speaking. It was Jesus' practice and, from all appearances, the practice of the apostles. So what we have here is something different and something special. A collection from other churches for the Jerusalem church. What we learn from the Apostle Paul is that giving, as Paul is asking it and doing it, is a part of a bigger picture. In 2 Corinthians 9:12, he writes, "This service that you perform," that is the offering that was taken up, "is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for your hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Paul sees that the generosity is more than meeting needs. I want you to hear that. Paul sees that generosity is more than meeting needs. What that means is that giving isn't just because of need. Paul wrote, "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ." Paul doesn't mean that giving proves you are generous. Not at all. Giving is bigger than that. The apostle says so. Giving proves you believe in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying in verse 13. Being able to give freely is a gift from God. It isn't just that anyone has sufficient means to give, because as we shall see, not everyone in Paul's congregations did have sufficient means. No, being able to give freely is its own gift from God. Giving freely is as much a gift from God as the gift of tongues, or the gift of teaching, or the gift of encouragement, or the gift of music, or the gift of healing. The gift of generosity. The gift of giving. When Paul talks about grace here, he means grace is generosity, and generosity is grace. We could even say that generosity is graceful. Because it is. It's full of grace. No one can earn the right to be generous. No one can earn the privilege to be generous. Standard American and Midwest thinking is that if you are rich, you can and will be more generous, and that has never been proven with any statistical facts. Ever. The statistical facts are the opposite. The richer a person is, the less likely they are to be generous. A lot of money does not make you generous. Mostly what we see with lottery winners in this country is that a lot of money makes you stupid. Right? Part of what the Apostle Paul is trying to say is this: God will not make you rich enough to be generous. Now that flies right in the face of the success gospel. God will not make you rich enough to be generous. God will not make you rich enough to be generous. God will make you loving enough to be generous. God will make you loving enough to be generous. God will make you loving enough to be generous. Whether you have a little or a lot. In verse 13, Paul says the gifts given prove the obedience of faith. Bible study people, we've looked at the book of James. Remember the apostle's example, James 2:15? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Paul states, yes, that is true. Your faith is proven by your generous giving. Generous giving means you really do believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. James asks, what is real religion? What's real faith? When we take care of the poorest of the poor. And in the ancient society, it was the orphan and the widows. And in that act of generosity, the apostle continues to say, the Lord will be thanked twice. The Lord will be thanked for your generosity with those in need and everyone. The Lord will be thanked for your obedience based in your statement of faith. You are doing what you are saying. Or, and I don't mean to make a pun here, but those Christians in Corinth are going to put their money where their mouth is. And God will get the glory. It's proof of God's surpassing grace. That grace has been given to those who give. And as a result, people will pray prayers of thanks to God, and the apostle joins in with that, claiming and exclaiming in verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God is praised not just for human generosity in giving, God is praised for divine generosity in making people generous. God himself, who demonstrated generosity in giving his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So it's very true when we say at the offering here at Daleville Christian Church at the table, everything belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. Not only the gifts that we bring, but the generosity that makes the gift possible. Everything belongs to the Lord. In the earlier chapter, the apostle wrote in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Again, the size of the generosity does not matter. Also a point many Americans do not understand. In Jesus' eyes, generous is generous no matter how great the gift is. We actually know this, but we don't often think that way. We don't think that way. We hear of a person giving $1 million and we think, my, that's generous. Well, it would be generous if you or I gave $1 million, since we don't have $1 million. But that person who gave $1 million makes several million in a year, every year. In Jesus' eyes, generous is generous no matter how great the gift is. In verse 8, Paul wrote, God is able to bless you abundantly. God is able to bless you abundantly. Let's say it together. God is able to bless you abundantly. The apostle's not talking about money. The abundant blessing is grace. It's the blessing that makes you and I generous. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The grace will see to your needs, and you know how we get confused between wants and needs. The grace will see to our needs, and the grace will abound in every good work. That is, grace will not make you rich with coins. The grace will make you loving enough to be generous with everything. Your time, your abilities, your wisdom, your encouragement. So that in all things, at all times, you will abound in every good work. That's how gracious our Lord God is. The same love and generosity that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Allow me to read another version of these verses from 2 Corinthians. Verse 8. God can supply you with an overflowing measure of every grace. God can supply you with an overflowing measure of every grace. And verse 11. And in every point you will be enriched for every kind of generosity. Not just in money, but every kind of generosity. Amen.